Good morning, church. I'm so happy to be here this morning. I've heard so much about this amazing place. I'm so thankful for this visiting choir that comes to us all the way from Minnesota, not least because I am a new bishop. This is my first time here, and I grew up in Michigan, which is close to Minnesota, for those of you who are a little hazy on your American geography. We're all in the same part of the great country known as the Midwest, where we are plainly spoken and plain people. So I think maybe these people have come to make me feel more at home, and I am very grateful to all of you for being here. Because you are here, we let you sing the psalm today in that beautiful old American folk tune, "My Shepherd Will Supply My Need." But that is not the psalm that is appointed for Trinity Sunday. Those of you who are smart about the lectionary will know that today's psalm is supposed to be Psalm 8, not a psalm in the bilingual Italian-English prayer book. Psalm 8 is a song of praise for the amazing majesty of God, sort of like that first hymn we sang, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Too amazing, too wondrous, too mysterious for us to fully comprehend. And in Psalm 8 comes this line, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" What is man that you are mindful of him? I was ordained in the Episcopal Church. I grew up, in fact, in the Episcopal Church, but my first job in ordained ministry was not in an Episcopal church. It was in a church outside any denomination at all. It was simply a Christian church of the Protestant family. It was the University Church at Harvard, a place known as the Memorial Church. Working there forced me to admit that it was possible for there to be churches that were not Episcopal churches. And it also gave me an opportunity to learn a lot about the history of that ancient place. Not a place old by Tuscan standards, but still the oldest university in America. One of my favorite stories had to do with the building of Emerson Hall, the place where the philosophy department has its home. That building was built at about the same time you were building this church, right in the early part of the 20th century. And when the plans were made to build that building, Mr. Lowell, who was the president of Harvard and a friend of Mr. J.P. Morgan, wrote to the philosophy department and asked them what inscription they would like to have on the outside of the building, right above the door. Now, of course, the philosophy department took a long time to come up with an answer to that question. But eventually they wrote back to Mr. Lowell. They asked that a quote from the ancient philosopher Protagoras be carved over the door. These words, "Man is the measure of all things." Mr. Lowell thanked the philosophy department for their helpful suggestion and filed away their letter. And when the work was all done and the scaffolding came down and the philosophy department assembled in the grass outside to see unveiled their brand new building, this is what Mr. Lowell had caused to be written over the door of Emerson Hall: "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" A very different sort of idea, don't you think? Dear friends, today is Trinity Sunday, the only feast in the entire calendar of the Holy Mother Church that is not dedicated to an event in the life of Christ, but to an idea. And what is even more complicated, a theological idea. The uniquely Christian claim that the one God whom we confess is revealed in three distinct persons or identities or functions. Now, by long tradition, in churches where there were at least a few ordained clergy, Trinity Sunday's job of preaching was usually given to the youngest preacher, usually somebody right out of seminary. And in part that was because today, Trinity Sunday, almost always falls just at the beginning of summer, right when clergy have just been ordained and gotten their degrees from the divinity school, and they think they are so smart. And so we put them right here in this place with all of the new knowledge they think they have with the most difficult preaching job of all, the doctrine of the Trinity. Usually it does not go well. It is generally a humbling experience, yet here it is. This idea that is so central to our understanding of God and yet so difficult to explain. And maybe that is as it should be. After all, God should not be all that easy to explain. Some of the greatest theologians in the long history of the church have devoted immense effort to unfolding the mystery of the Trinity. St. Augustine wrote a book on the Trinity that is 14 chapters long, 14 different attempts to explain what the Trinity might mean. And at the end of the book, St. Augustine throws up his hands and simply says, the mystery of God is beyond the understanding of even the faithful. And yet we are not really very satisfied with that answer, are we? Maybe the generations before us were comfortable living with mystery, with the idea that there were things beyond their comprehension, but we are not. We have solved mystery. We have explained nature's riddles. We have figured it all out, at least most of it. And that is the problem. Remember last week, if you were here last week, we heard about those people who built that high tower out of bricks to make a name for themselves. They had accomplished so much. They felt so sure of themselves. And they wanted to rise up and look at God eye to eye. They felt as though they were God's equal, and they wanted to prove it. And it didn't end well either. They had forgotten their place. Brothers and sisters, we live in that same danger. We are so much more accomplished than those people marching across the plain, baking bricks and building the great Tower of Babel. We really do feel, don't we, that we are the equal of God. And we think we have evidence to back up that idea. We have unraveled the genetic code. We've reached the outermost limits of the solar system. We've measured the heavens. We've explained the fabric of the universe. We have conquered disease and put the forces of nature at our service. Or have we? If we forget the place where we actually stand with respect to God, then nothing about what we say or do here makes any sense. If part of the challenge that we face today, being the church in this world, is that this world around us imagines that we are no longer relevant, we here in the church, one of the reasons for that is that our whole culture has imagined that we are God, that we are the measure of all things. And if we look just a little closer, that proud claim of ours begins to fall apart. We are destroying the planet God has given us in creation. Our victories against infectious diseases are turning into ashes in our mouth as the tiniest creatures of all adapt and change to defeat our antibiotics. The powers we have harnessed with our minds are turned to violent purposes and destructive ends by our flawed hearts. If we have set ourselves up as God, then it is little wonder that people are having a hard time believing in God anymore. The idea of the Trinity makes no sense to us unless we begin from the position that God is God and we are not. But if we begin there, then this seemingly complicated idea becomes a lot more sensible. In fact, it becomes essential. Because if we are not God, then there is a God who desires to be in relationship with us. That God is the source of love. That God demonstrates and makes real a love for us in the person of Jesus Christ. And that God makes real this love for us, not just back then, but today, right now, through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of all of these people that we share this faith with, this way of love. None of that makes sense if we forget where we stand in this relationship, but all of it makes sense if we remember where we stand. If we remember, in fact, that our standing at all depends on God's love for us. God showing love and God loving us even today, this moment, through the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of this whole community. So maybe it is an odd gift, the gift of this feast day. It is the gift of gently reminding us of the place that we are meant to have. When we put it that way, it sounds like we're being reduced somehow, diminished maybe, made smaller than we think we should be. But if we consider it prayerfully, if we consider the possibility that lies within it, very quickly the idea of the Trinity reveals itself as an idea about God that has a place for us in it. Not God's place, but the place that God has made for us. The reason for, the focus of, and the means of experiencing the love that is the very presence of God in the world. So thank God for this place that we have. Thank God for keeping us in mind. Amen.